Hello and welcome to another episode of Through the Turnstiles podcast. Coming to you slightly differently again this week. Perhaps at one point this season we'll have a podcast, Muzz, where we're all together. We've got everyone on board and there's no work commitments, football commitments. People try to do it for their sick bed, but
yeah, we're muddling by best we can, but we'll get back into the routine as soon as possible, hopefully.
I don't know how you feel, but I feel like the start of the season's been a bit chop and change, and I don't know if that's just because there's been international breaks and the cups come in and all sorts of things going on. I don't know if that usually happens, but it just feels a bit prolonged.
Aye, it's a bit weird, isn't it? It's the cup, the you know, especially in the lower leagues, you've got the Challenge Cup, early rounds of the Scottish Cup, very early rounds, Scottish Cup. You've got the League Cup already sort of well underway by the start of the season. Then you've got, like you say, the pause for the international break. So, it's almost like some teams haven't had a chance to get any momentum going, put any runs together. We're into September now and, you know, there's only four or five games being played across for each team across the league. So, yeah, it's a bit weird, isn't it? It's reflective of our ability to put out consistent podcasts as well.
Yes, yeah, that's what got me thinking. I was like, is it because we've not been consistent week by week, or have we not been consistent week by week because of the start of the season? What is consistent, though, Muzz, is that people should hit that little like button just underneath and get subscribed to it. Surely that's... Yeah. How else would they know that we're going to dip in and out of our podcasting yeah. even though?
Yeah, they'll like the element of surprise.
That'll be nice. So, coming out. Get that little notification will be nice for them. Obviously, if you are on YouTube, you can catch us same place through the turnstiles. If you'd rather listen to us, we're on Apple Podcasts, we're on Spotify, just through the turnstiles as would. Get us on Twitter at Through the Turnstiles. I think that's the stuff that Andy Boy usually runs through. But I think, Muzz, other than just general sort of looking at games coming up, I was having a quick browse. There's not much Scottish football news. Obviously, we're men of high class and we like high taste, so we won't touch on the national team. That standard's not good enough. But the only other real story that isn't worthy of a podcast of itself would be Hopkin leaving Ayr or being forcibly removed, whatever the background to that may be.
Yeah, bit of a... It came quite suddenly. The news came quite suddenly. There was talk of it, and then suddenly, I think within 24 hours of me hearing, there might be a hint of him going, he is away. And it's got a bit of shades of Morton as well, the way he left there. He seems to be a guy who doesn't sort of fanny about. He'll just go into the boardroom, cards on the table, have a discussion. Where are we at? Do we share the same vision? And they've obviously come to another conclusion here. Whether there was more of a push from the club than Hopkin kind of offering a resignation, I'm not quite sure yet. I've not looked into the details, but form-wise, they've not had a great start to the season. He signed a lot of players, namely from Morton. So as an Ayr United fan, you're kind of scratching your head going, where next, you know?
I was a bit surprised because I thought the BBC article that I got it from, that I'm looking at just now, headline, Ayr United, David Hopkin leaves as manager after 6 months. And I'm like, that's a hefty spell in charge and he must have been through the ringer and things. Hopkin, 51, presided over 15 matches and won just three, all in this season's League Cup group stage. 15 matches isn't as many as you'd anticipate for 6 months, but those three wins aren't good enough, regardless of sort of the spell you take them over.
Yeah, I know. It's, what is it, a fifth? Bit of quick mental math there. But is 15 matches also a fair time to give a new manager? I wouldn't have thought so. In the modern game, that kind of activity is starting to filter through to the lower leagues now. You know, this kind of cutthroat industry where managers aren't getting enough time to boards are panicking. I can, off the top of my head, I'm thinking of the Lee Miller and McCracken situation at Falkirk. Although, you know, they had their free fall last season, but that was well after they left. They were, I think they were top of the table when they were removed. And, you know, I'm trying to think of another example off the top of my head, but it's definitely happens a lot more commonly now. Ray McKinnon, arguably, as well. Queen's Park. A lot of kind of like, you know, bold decisions, could we call it that, by boards, by clubs. But I can't see how 15 matches, you know, a manager can be judged in that. Okay, poor start to the season. One draw, three losses. But, you know, it is Ayr United we're talking about here. All due respect, in a competitive league. So there's a bit of realism needed. A bit, you know, he needs to be given a bit of a chance. There's plenty of time they can recover. They've got experienced players in the squad. But I don't know. I'd like to be a fly in the wall in these David Hopkin board meetings, just to see what's actually getting said and what the thinking behind it is. I don't know. Have you got any theory on it?
Yes. Yeah. No. Like you say, I think he's fairly. I don't know if plain spoken is the right word, but I think he has just heart on sleeve, and you can see what he does and what he wants. So when you're saying I'd like to be fly on the wall in these decisions, I'd like to see what he does day to day. To like, you almost want to be inside his head. Like, what's he thinking? Because you look at, he'd won, I think it was just over half of his games, and he was at Livy for well over 100, and he'd won about half of them. And then there was shouts of him maybe going to Morton then, and there were shouts of him, I think the Carlisle job was being touted around, and so he got him promoted, and then he was sort of willy won't he, and eventually he's left. And then after that, I went looking, and as I think Bradford was maybe 20s or low 20% win percentage. Morton was 30, 33, 37 sort of region, and Ayr United, obviously, we're talking about it there being, what, 3 and 15. So his percentages, like the games he actually wins after Livingston, haven't been that good. And he has spent like seasons in places as well. It's not like they're all this Ayr, sort of time spell. So what's he doing? Like, what's happened to him since he's been at Livy? And there was all sorts of shouts about who was actually taking the team, and was it Martindale really the man behind the curtain? But, you know, the players that have come out from Livy and said, like, William Miller came out and said David Hopkins one of the best managers he's worked under, and motivating guy and things. So
that's right, yeah.
He can't be a terrible coach, terrible manager, but you look at those percentages, they're not really good enough. So I've the got thing two is questions that sort of... Sorry, on you go.
He comes with a... Sorry, that's just a lag there. I didn't mean to interrupt, but the thing is, he also comes with a certain brand of football, and that's quite obvious watching his teams play, and you can argue whether that's effective or not. And like you say, statistically, it's maybe laterally has not been as effective. But he was, I mean, remember the managers that were interviewed for that United post, and he did come out on top of that. He was, you know, quite clearly selected by that board. And they knew what kind of football he was going to play. So do you think they're a bit hasty here, turning around saying, "Nah, this isn't working"?
To an extent, because he came in mid-season, so you can only really try to think of the PG version of the. You can only work with the tools you've got. So when you come in March, I think it was March, April time. Until the end of the season, you can only do what you can do with the players that are at your disposal. And then we go, well, you're right in saying he's got a brand of football. So he then brings these players in at the start of this season. But has he had long enough to work with those players and actually get those players playing without sort of the lag over from last season, where he's maybe not performed as he would, or he's tried things out and it's not worked for them, so he's addressed things by bringing players in? And what Ayr are going through now is either they've got a manager who's brought players in and then they've handed it over to Jim Duffy just now, but Jim Duffy's only caretaker. So what I was going to ask you sort of ties into this. Is Jim Duffy then going to take the reins full time and he's working with the squad that Hopkins built and he's been there training with them, or are they going to bring in someone new and this person will inherit Hopkins' squad, get the winter transfer window, get the bullet next March, and then they start this thing again? Like, they need some, Ayr needs some sort of consistency here, surely.
Well, I think, first of all, they could do a lot worse than just give Jim Duffy the chance.
Yeah.
Talking about talking about, you know, using, you worded it perfectly. You can only use the tools you've got perfectly, and PG. And he's the man for that. He is an expert at that. Dumbarton proved it. I think he overachieved with Dumbarton, actually, and the squad that he had, and his shrewdness in the transfer market, and working with a tight budget. To an extent, he was doing the same at Morton, and I thought he was unlucky to get sacked by Morton at that at the time. And they've never really done any better than when he was in charge. He had them bothering the playoffs, playing a 4-4-2 system. He had a good couple of young players in there as well. He was blessed with that, but he had a good system, good solid football. He can mix it up style wise. He's not just, I think people can get believe the misconception that he is a long ball, a hoof merchant, but his teams can play as well. He just uses the players he's got. He uses their strengths. You know, he just happened to have Morgan Neal and McGeever at the back for Dumbarton. Yeah. Who would just head boulders for him, and they would sometimes, he had a big guy up front sometimes like Robert Jones, so obviously you're going to try and hit him long. So he mixed it up. He did what he had to do. So, you know, I think Ayer could, I know this is sounding like kind of what they were doing with Hopkin, but I think Duffy's can offer something a wee bit different as well. The other question you've got to ask, is there a financial aspect to Hopkin leaving? Has it cost them money? It didn't seem to help Morton. He seemed to leave. I think he was quite generous in the way he just cut ties and went. So if Ayer have had to sort of pay him something to go, then financially they might be inclined to want go towards keeping Duffers on. But
as generic statement put out from Ayer, whether the terms of our discussion with David Hopkin remain confidential, we respect his views and we'd like to put on record our thanks for his efforts and wish him well for the future. Okay, so you're right. Financial implications or no financial implications, they're sort of just been like, yeah, some things have happened. He's left and we're not going to tell you any more than that.
Yeah, it is what it is.
I am. Without sort of spending too long on this topic, my only other question is really, where does Hopkin go next? If we could sort of give a brief suggestion, because I don't have one. And I do remember, and I've instantly forgotten who it was. I remember there being an incident with Chelsea when they had sacked Timo Tillman, someone they'd sacked, and he couldn't get another job if he wanted to be earning the millions that Chelsea had paid him off with. So presumably either Hopkins walked away or there's been some sort of financial payoff or whatever the situation's been. Let's say there's no financial hit, Hopkins is walking another job. What do you think he can do now? Because if we are looking at the last three jobs he's had, he's not won as many games as, if I'm looking at raw statistics, the guy's won 20% of his games. I think it was 48 games he played down south. He's won 20% of them. 25%, whatever, a third of his games won up here. It doesn't bode well, really.
Not really, on paper, but I think he's quite I think he is generally a well-respected guy, well-respected coach. Some players,
I think he is now, though, because two teams in Scotland he's gone into with his brand of defensive football, having built that at Livy. So if all you do is watch Scottish football, you have an idea of who he is. Gone into two teams where that should be effective and butcher it.
Yeah, I don't know, but for some reason I still think he's got the clout to have his name in the mix for a couple of jobs. I would say looking down in League One, maybe, and some of your bigger clubs in League One, or any League One club, really. Whether he would see himself above that still is also another question as well. He could end up being like a bit of a Jim McIntyre figure who just fades into the background for a bit, keeps his head down and is waiting for an opportunity that suits him. I don't know. You're then looking at your other options is obviously back down the road. Didn't get far with Bradford, but there's 23 other clubs in that League Two that might be willing to take a punt on, and he would probably see himself more valued in England perhaps than the reputation he's sort of made for himself here in the last couple of jobs he's had. So it's a difficult one to answer.
He maybe does just need like a project where, like you say, there's maybe not as it's a big team, but it's maybe there's not as big expectations. So he came in, well, every team obviously that needed to win League One and did. And then the Championship, sort of after he'd built a bit of momentum, the Championship that they went up in that year. So they weren't expected to. They were expected to perform okay. And sort of they've just turned on and turned on. And that was a chance for him to really sort of just progress and build that sort of ground up and keep going. But sort of on segueing into looking at this sort of games of the day rather than going in and out of each league, because just coming off the international break, I think we'll do an episode in the near future about the transfers, so definitive what we think of the transfers, and once we've played sort of towards the third of the season or the quarter of the season point, look at the leagues in a bit more detail. But for me, game of the day, championship wise, has got to be that Ayr Dunfermline.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about a manager that we think hasn't been given enough time, and you know, playing against a team with a manager who has played three games, or not including three league games, sorry, not including cup, obviously, and is seemingly, you know, according to if you talk to a lot of Dunfermline fans, very much under pressure at this early stage. So yeah, that makes it quite a tasty one and quite an unpredictable one for me. You know, that classic, are you going to get that classic sort of bounce back from Ayr? If Duffy's come in, you know, and you've got to ask yourself, are the players at Dunfermline still, are they playing for Peter Grant, or are their heads being turned quickly by the kind of speculation and the start they've had? So yeah, it's a sort of it's a tasty one, and a difficult one to predict for that reason.
I feel sometimes like I'm a bit of a cynic and a, not in as many words, just refer to teams as jobbers or players just as like just players, or they're just guys going out and doing stuff. But do you think either Ayr or Dunfermline are good enough to give us a game? Like, if you're a neutral and you're looking at the games coming up, just a football purist, like two teams bottom of the table, 1 point apiece, this could be a shootout. Do you think they've got it in them, or do you think this is just going to fizzle out to be, as I would probably suggest, just a bit of a nothing game? Because you're looking at teams that have scored so few goals and have led so many each. Like, they're both on, well, -5, -6 goal difference, both on 1 point.
I think two teams under pressure going head-to-head can take a couple of different turns. It can either be a complete shutdown where they're both just so on edge that they're just too afraid to try anything, and you see a 0-0, or you see a horrible game, or they can throw caution to the wind. There can be a release of pressure. You can see some entertainment happen. You can see mistakes. You can see controversy. Players' heads going, things like that. So, and I'm talking about, you know, these leagues. So, you know, if I had a spare Saturday and I was in Ayr, I had nothing to do, I would probably go along and see. Like, I think Dunfermline have the potential to play good football, and I think, to be fair to Peter Grant, he tries to play football the right way. And if you want my opinion, you know, he needs way more time to try and implement what they want to do. Like, you know, they're still out. They can still quite easily make the playoffs if things go right for him and he gets a system in place and it starts clicking for them, because they've got the players. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's... I don't know how it's going to go. It's that difficult to predict. But both teams need to win.
Aye, and I think that it must be frustrating for both sets of fans. And as a fan of a team who's doing sort of adequately at the start of the season, you want nothing more than when you've been away for however many months we've not been in ground, and you're a fan of an Ayr United, like a good team in Dunfermline, who behind closed doors, or when you're watching them on, I don't know, Dunfermline TV or whatever they call it, and they're doing all right, and you see them on the Friday night games and that, you must have been sitting at home just like, get me into the ground, and then you're turning up and just seeing this. Like you say, if you've got a spare Saturday, you would go along. The worry is, are the fans going to be going along to games like this? And I think both of them need to you're right that Grant can play attractive football, and it'll be interesting to see what Duffy does, and if he does sort of shore it up and go route one just to see what happens, or is he going to try and play for his job? But yeah, I'm with you. I don't think you can really call this one. I could see either team winning or a draw winning when I check my phone, and would not be surprised sort of either way. I'd be surprised if either team won by a margin, like a 2-0, a 3-0 or anything. I can't see that happening, but sort of it's a game I would look at and I'd just go, oh, right, that's X has happened. Fine. Scroll on to the next, scroll on to League One for me.
Yeah. On that point then, will we run through a quick prediction on the Championship?
Yeah, we've got the matches in front of you.
We are pressed on time, yeah. So what are you saying for Air United and Dunfermline?
See, having just said I could see either of them winning and a draw, which had left that until the end, so I could have let that mulled over. I think based on the fact they've got a new manager and Duffy is not just a tracksuit that's sort of been left over. Someone from the youth academy who's the first one, the chairman, seemed to be, you can take us. The fact that Duffy knows what he's doing in the hot seat, I think he'll sneak this one.
Air for you. Okay. Yeah. I'm going Dunfermline to pick up the first win.
Nice.
I'm going the opposite. Arbroath Hamilton.
That's one where you could almost see the teams flipped in the league there, because you would expect Hamilton to be above Arbroath there, but even then, my expectations were Hamilton would be a lot higher. Saying that, I'm not convinced they're on the right track just now, Hamilton. I'm not on that bandwagon at all. I think they're toiling, and I think they may toil for some time. So for me, that's an Arbroath job.
I am going to agree with that, being at home as well. And I think Joe Newbley is going to be too much for Hamilton defence to handle. Inverness, Cali, Partick.
It's another tough one, but they're not... For me, these aren't... it's a tough game to call, but it's not game of the day, because there'll be two teams that will be up there, I think, and they'll be battling it out. So I think when I picked game of the day or Dunfermline, that would have been my focus. In saying that, I think it's going to be Inverness. I could see it being a draw, but I won't hedge my bets. I'll push the boat out for another saying. And go Inverness. I think they've got a defence I called quite young and inexperienced, I think has not shown that. And I think they have sort of shored it up Inverness way. So for me, I think they're strong enough defensively and can have the possibility to sneak a little goal in. So Inverness for me.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you. They shored it up, 4-1-0 wins in a row. And I could genuinely see it being 1-0 Inverness again. I think Partick are good, but they've got a wobble in them. I think they're up where I was expecting them to be in the table, and fair play to them. But I think like Wraith, when Wraith came up last season, they were up there, and there was times where we felt they were punching above their weight a wee bit, and they would take a bit of a beating sometimes. And I think I think Partick Thistle are going to be up there, but I think they're going to be a bit inconsistent. So I think inconsistent is what Inverness are not right now. So I'm going to go for Inverness.
The league leaders in goals for Partick, but they're also out of the top, four or five teams up there with the amount of goals they're letting in, goals against. So like you said, they've got the ability to score, but at the same time, not overly strong or have previously been as strong defensively. So I think you could be on to something. Maybe not a 1-0, but I could see a 2-1 or something for me.
Kilmarnock, Morton?
Kelly Morton. That's just a straightforward two teams on paper job for me. I think Kelly are just better. We'd like to see Scott Robinson doing a wee bit more. I don't know if he's been in and out injured. I think he could be a real threat. So if you can get him going and Burke, take the pressure off Burke a wee bit, I think this will be a good chance for them both just to get after it.
Yeah, again, I completely agree. If they're at home, a couple of those players back, that could be a good solid win for Kilmarnock for me, yeah. Finally, Raith Rovers, Queen of the South.
I think you should take this one first, rather than throw this to me, because once again, My head says Wraith, but at the same time, I think you can give me compelling reasons for either.
Well, I don't know. I mean, it's along there or there. Dunfermline is the one of the trickier ones in the championship to call. I have been waxing lyrical a bit about Queen of the South, but they've taken three losses out of four. Away to Wraith, who put in a good solid win away to Ayr, regardless of what was happening. Away to David Hopkin team, quite a tough slog. So I think Wraith have got more about them. They've got that extra, another championship season under the belt. Didn't take too many hits in the transfer market. Tate obviously loaned back to them. So they're kind of as they were. Although Lewis Vaughan, we could do an hour special in his injury woes. I can't believe how unlucky that guy is with injuries. But to cut a long waffling story short, Wraith for me, but I think that'll be goalsy.
And I do quite like Queen of the South this season, but I'm not sure why. Maybe it is just listening to you and the fact that they seem to be doing a little bit better, but also sort of aren't really. It is quite tight between them, so this will probably be the riskier shout, but I will just go Queen of the South because I think it could go either way, and I've been quite safe with some of my other bets. So Queen of the South for me this week, just to, I don't know, spice my life up a wee bit.
Do you know what? It could easily happen.
This is one of the tightest, I think, fixture lists we'll see at this point of the season when you look at the league table. I don't think there's any team that will be definitively beaten by a considerable amount. So,
the only sort of scudding I could potentially see there is Kilmarnock, Morton, but I've said Morton are taking a scudding before and they always come out to defy me, so... If for the sake of Morton fans, I hope they don't get a scudding. But that's the only one I think's got the potential to be just a good solid win for Kilmarnock.
Just a 3 points.
Aye, just Morton barely laying a glove on them kind of job. But happy to be proven wrong.
Smashing. So there we have it, a slightly more truncated version of this week's episode with just myself and Muzz taking a quick look at the championship and my game of the day, which was Ayr versus Dunfermline. Off the back of the big news coming out of the international break that David Hopkin has left Ayr. We also spoke about the championship games in a little bit more detail. As I was going into this week's episode, I did think that Ayr Dunfermline was game of the day based purely on the fact that they're both down at the bottom of the table, they're both toiling. But actually thinking about it more with Muzz there, it's basically everything to play for in all the games in the championship. There is, despite the fact it is an early stage of the season, there is no sort of dead rubbers. I think every point will be a prisoner at this point. But we are obviously keen to hear what you guys have to say. We are coming to you more often on a regular basis throughout the rest of this season. Week by week, we will be on YouTube as we have been previously. Find us there by searching for Through the Turnstile. Same thing on Spotify and Apple Podcast. If you'd rather listen than look at us. And again, you'll find us just by searching for Through the Turnstiles. We're also on Twitter at Turnstiles there. And when I say we'd like to hear from the fans, feel free to just leave comments on YouTube or get us a message sent on Twitter, whether you do it publicly or we've had a good few people come into the DMs and ask us questions about how we think their teams are performing. We have been to a good few games at this point of the season already, but we are but three people who also do this alongside scouting for the teams that we are currently working with. So there's a chance we may not have seen your team. So as much as we are keen to talk about as many teams as possible with you and share our views, we're also keen to get the views from you about how you think your team's shaping up, how your team should be shaping up. Should your team be doing better? Should your team be getting rid of their manager? Should they be looking elsewhere? Is there an area that you think they should strengthen, etc.? We're more than happy to take that on. We'll speak about it perhaps during the podcast. We'll certainly speak about it amongst ourselves because that helps shape how we think each team is progressing. So because Muzz and I ran through the championship, to look at the League One and League Two briefly, for me the games in that are as tight, and there's no real standout games for me, especially when we're looking at League One specifically. Such a tight table from top to bottom. I say this sort of bearing well in mind that Peterhead are sitting lowly in the table in 10th with 3 points. Above them, East Fife on four. Above them, Airdrie on four. Above them, Alloa also on four. And then we're into the 7s, 7s, 10s and 11 region. So I say it is quite tight. We're five games in and we've seen teams pick up a good few points. We've seen teams pick up not so many points. However, the two teams who have got 4 points are Alloa and Airdrie. They've played but four games when everyone else has played five. So that extra game will be played on this coming Tuesday, which means as we go into weekend beginning the 18th, so Saturday the 18th, everyone in that division should have played the same amount of games. If all goes well for Alloa and or Airdrie, to be honest, because they're both sitting the same points, we could see them higher up. We could see them sitting in the playoffs going to this game next weekend. So for me, it is tough to call any of these games. I think one to look out for would be that Airdrie game away to Queen's Park, purely because we're looking at Queen's Park sitting atop the table. So obviously when you see a team sitting top against a team sitting in eighth, you presume that, you know, the team higher up will do better. And if we look at the form list, that's likely to happen as well. For me, on paper, I think Queen's Park are slightly edging it. The big game for me in that one is going to be Montrose versus Cove Rangers. Montrose maybe sitting slightly higher than they would have anticipated starting the season, but for me, justifiably so. They're well worth their points, and they're well worth their league position. I think a lot of Montrose fans will be relatively happy with that position in second. They would maybe begin to think their team might tail off, or they'd be forgiven for thinking their team might tail off towards the end of the season. And so what I think they'll be happy with just now is the points you pick up just now are banked already. So if you do begin to slip down the table further on, you've still got them, and you're still putting distance between you. If Peterhead lose again, putting yourself between you and the team in bottom. Cove Rangers slightly maybe underperforming in terms of predictions and where people would have thought they would have gone straight into it, but five games gone, it's very harsh to say they're underperforming. I think they are performing perhaps as they should be. I believe, if I recall, I had them slightly higher up the table. But when you look at the teams below them, Dumbarton, Clyde, Alloa, Airdrie, East Fife and Peterhead, really that's, I think they're justified in fourth. Falkirk justified to be above them, I think. Queen's Park definitely justified to be above them. And Montrose on merit at this stage of the season do deserve to be sitting 2 points clear of two positions clear of them, 3 points clear of them. So I think that'll be a bit of a shootout. That's a tough game to call. I think Montrose, just with the form they're in, could edge that one for me. If you're going to that, that's definitely one that we would want to hear from, because I think either team would be within their rights to expect they would win it. I think going into League Two, my game is going to be a choice of two, really, for me, of interest, is Albion Rovers Cowdenbeath, purely because last season you would have thought that could have been anyone's business, and this season it will be exactly the same. Both teams sitting on 4 points, both teams sitting on minus three goal difference, or neither team performing particularly well. Albion Rovers, who sort of maybe gave us a little false summit, or are looking like they might give us a little false summit here, where we think they've got themselves together. Are they going to continue and are they going to pull through from that? And Cowdenbeath, again, another team that I'm quite partial to, starting off strong, a good team, a good 11, but there's only so many times I, and to be fair, Andy's sort of gotten on this bandwagon as well, there's only so many times we can say, if they're 10, if they're 11, if they're first team squad's playing right well, then the rest of them will play right well and everyone will come together. Yeah, but so what if it doesn't? So for me, Cowdenbeath justifiable to be down there. I do hope they improve, but they don't look like they're meriting to improve against the standard of anyone else. Another game that I think is worthy of mention would be Annan against Stenismuir. Annan, a team I predicted to be quite far down, bottom, I think, perhaps I predicted, flying high on 12 points. Massive, massive season for them already. Same thing I would say about Montrose, is they would be forgiven for thinking that the bubble might burst at some point, but until it does, keep sort of reeling in these points, and it's 10 points clear of the team they're up against next, and Stenny. That's for me, that's points in the bank already. Stenny just appointed a new CEO as well, so it'll be interesting to see how that unfolds. Will they continue to focus on the community side, the development side of things, or will they begin to focus a little bit more on the football side, as my critique was perhaps last season? How hands-on will it be? How involved in the comings and goings will he be remains to be seen. Again, tell me, feel free to tell me why there is a different game, a better game that I should have been paying attention to that I have not picked up on or spoken about, because I am, after all, just a guy who is speaking at you currently all by myself without the dynamic duo of Andy and Muzz. So on that note, I think it is time for me to bid you farewell. As usual, like I say, give us a like, but do feel free to get in contact and tell me why I'm correct or incorrect. Please enjoy the football if you're going to it. If you're not going to it, please